This is a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. Go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Welcome to Breadline from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union on Community Radio 3CR.
News and views from the dole queues.
Fighting back against the poverty machine. Breadline is broadcast from the stolen unceded lands of the Wurundjeri people. The unfairness of the so-called welfare system disproportionately affects Indigenous people.
Down with mutual obligations.
Raise the rate. Fair and equal treatment for all. Yes, that's right, they do. And so you're listening to Breadline, as in that our new promo. And I'm happy to be here in the studio today. I'm Jessica, and I've got a friend visiting. Hi.
Oh, hi, Jess. Yeah, congratulations on 2 years of Breadline.
Yeah.
What? 2 years, yeah?
Two years in June,
oh,
yeah.
Excellent, coming up.
Yeah, and so we've got a bit of an exciting show coming up. So first of all, we're going to be talking to Oriella, who is involved with the big campaign. It's unfortunately a new campaign, another exhausting one to try and protect the NDIS. So we're going to be talking to them a bit later at around 10 past. And also, we've had some excitement down our way. Of course, we've had May Day, which is lovely. And May Day, of course, is happening in Naam as well as down in Wonthaggi. And I've been getting a few people whinging online about the fact that we stood up and spoke out about safe workplaces and the fact that so far this year, 33 people have died in their workplace. So that's a good argument for having strong unions in your workplace. But unfortunately, not everyone on the silly local paper chat agreed with that. And also a reminder that this is the show of the Australian Unemployed Workers Union. So if you are having any trouble with your job centres, as we know, they push you around. They try and get you to do work for the dole after 6 months. They don't try and get you a job. And then if you get yourself a job, they harass you and try and get hold of your payment slips so that they can get a handout from the federal government. Please ring us. So we have this advocacy line, which is staffed by our members. And so the number, which we often do on the show, so if you're a regular listener, you'll recognise the number, but it's 1-800-289-848. And anyone, friends and relations, can ring that Monday to Friday, 10 till 2. And or else, if you prefer an email, you can email advocacy@auwu.org.au. So what we're finding with the advocacy line is that we've got more people actually emailing us or leaving phone messages. And, of course, someone's pointed out they were kept waiting on the line for 2.5 hours recently. That was last week. So it's not good at all. And, you know, if you're driven mad by hanging on, at least hang up and give yourself a break and talk to one of us on the advocacy line, just to talk to a real person, not someone who's basically just trying to get rid of you. And I know the other thing that happens on the phone line is you can be waiting for ages and then they say goodbye, click, and that's it. You don't hear anything more. And so, yeah, it's not a good situation. Later on in the show, we'll be talking about a new film that's been made, which is called Profit from Punishment. And that's going to be showing in Melbourne soon. So meanwhile, there's always a good reminder that if you get yourself into some kind of major legal stress, it's good to go to your friendly local community legal centres. So here's a reminder about that.
Has Centrelink made a decision you disagree with? Most Centrelink decisions can be appealed up to 3 times. Examples of decisions you can appeal include whether you're eligible for a payment, cancellation or suspension of your payment, how much you get paid, and Centrelink debts. One of the most common Centrelink decisions appealed are Centrelink debts. Centrelink will say you owe a debt if the staff determine you've been paid more than you should have. debts can occur for a variety of reasons. In some instances, if there's been an administrative error or if you have special circumstances, you may not have to repay that debt. The appeal process is free, but time limits can apply and will affect your entitlement to back payment. Social Security Rights Victoria is a specialist community legal centre providing Victorians free advice to help you understand your Centrelink issues and the appeal processes. You can contact Social Security Rights Victoria on 9481 0355 or online at ssrv.org.au. The Federation of Community Legal Centres is a 3CR supporter.
You're listening to 3CR 855 AM, the voice of the community.
3CR, community radio, giving the voice to the community since 1976.
The Common Social Change Library is an online collection of educational resources for those involved in community campaigns and social and labour movements. It collects, curates, and distributes key lessons and resources from progressive movements from around Australia and across the globe. The library includes over 1,400 resources covering campaign strategy, community organising, activist history, digital campaigning, justice, equity, diversity, and inclusion, and much, much more. It's free to access the library, so check out the collection at www.commonslibrary.org.
She wants everything she wants. I see she gets. That's my daughter in the water. Everything she owns, I bought her. Everything she owns. That's my daughter in the water. Everything she knows, I taught her. Everything she knows. Everything I say, she takes to heart. Everything she takes apart. That's my daughter in the water. Every time she fell, I caught her. Every time she fell. And that's my daughter in the water. I lost every time I fought her. Yeah, I lost every time. She strikes somebody blind. Every time she thinks, blows her tiny mind. That's my daughter in the water. Who'd have ever thought her? Who'd have ever thought? That's my daughter in the water. I lost every time I fought her. Yeah, I lost.
And yeah, that was Loudon Wainwright with Daughter. And yes, so it's going to be, we're about to get to talk to Auriella about the big new campaign that's building. Oh, hi, Auriella, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, everyone.
Oh, hi. Welcome to Breadline, yes, the weekly show of the Australian Unemployed Workers Union. And yes, so it's a bit, it's very opportune that you were on the show tonight because 3CR has just thrust a few leaflets at me and they're actually advertising the three rallies that you've got planned.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
And also 3CR is going to be broadcasting live from the NAM rally. But anyway, first of all, tell the listeners about what's been happening with the NDIS.
Yeah, well, absolutely. So some of the cuts for the NDIS entailed, they've been all over the news, but as Mark Butler had announced in his press club address, that the scheme, the government is aiming to cut 160 participants from the scheme. How is that going to be decided? Really, like, whose access is going to be removed? We're already seeing autistic kids and their families with psychosocial disabilities be kicked off the scheme. Does this mean that their access will be targeted even further? And then the government is also doing this for the sake of budget cuts. Like, why are you not taxing the ultra-wealthy and gas companies? Why target us as a disabled community? Why are you doing this to vulnerable people that need access to the right level of support? We didn't choose to be disabled, so why punish us?
Yeah, the whole thing, I mean, what we talk about a lot on Breadline is the sort of abysmally low payments which everyone's getting, but the NDIS was a sort of breath of fresh air because it meant that at least there was some kind of support. There might not have been the money for food and rent, but there were people who are, you know, able to give that kind of weekly or daily support. And, yeah, it was huge, really.
Yeah, and then as quickly as well, like, they're also going to be restricting access to new NDIS participants because the ICAM assessments are going to come in, which are these new functional capacity
assessments. What was that called again? ICAM?
ICAM. So I-C-A-N.
Ah.
These are going to be done by non-allied health professionals, which in reality, yeah, like, these should be done by trained and skilled people. And they talk about, I've heard a lot over the past few months in terms of, like, they're going to train up, get planners and things. But realistically, we don't know how these are going to be implemented. We don't know what's going to happen to the safety and the vulnerability and of participants. People are going to fall through the cracks with these so-called, like, better assessments, and people don't have to pay for assessments now. But it's like, when you have things done by, like, properly skilled allied health professionals, people get the support they need. And it's almost like the government doesn't want to pay for it. The government doesn't want to fund it.
See, I wonder if it's privatisation by the back door. I mean, we have a lot of trouble with the job agencies, you know. I just really wonder. That needs a bit of digging into, I think, by the sound of it. Maybe you're already doing that.
We're looking into it. Like, myself, I've been looking into that as well. I've had many conversations personally with allied health professionals that I work with on a regular basis, and they're really scared because they're like, what's going to happen to participant with this really intense and really, like, high support needs level of disability, and someone who may appear to have lower support needs and they have a psychosocial disability, the NDIS will be like, no, they're fine. Mm. And that's something where we're going to see a lot of people fall through the cracks because you can't really do assessments to access the scheme without actually it being done by allied health professionals. And it's really concerning because we're seeing things like this pop in with the aged care sector at the moment, and we're seeing a lot of these really, really poor outcomes happening in the aged care sector, and this is likely that it's going to be transferred over to the disability community as well with the NDIS. So, yeah.
Yeah, and the same thing, of course, you can't. The whole process of trying to get the disability support pension really relies on doctors, and they have made it slightly easier, I think, through this, there's some forms that now can be accessed online for the doctors. But the thing is, that requires a doctor. So why is the NDIS suddenly exempt from that?
Exactly. And especially when it's something like, you need to access such a high amount of support and like a lot of funding for an annual, sometimes people get 5-year plans, and you know, this is something that's like not being done with doctors, medical or like allied health input off the bat to meet access. Why is the NDIS different from any other government department and sector? Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Now, so how many people roughly, I know it's probably going to be an underestimate, but how many people do you see as being affected by this sudden rearrangement?
Yeah, well, it's not going to just be the 160,000 participants getting kicked off the scheme. Every single participant is going to be affected because all of us, myself being an NDIS participant, are going to be reassessed for our eligibility and access to the scheme. So with 160,000 NDIS participants being the goal for the government to kick off of the scheme, all of us are going to have to go through that process again with eligibility reassessments, with sitting down with planners, with sitting down with the NDIA. And we're going to have to fight and prove and vouch for the validity of our disabilities.
So stressful
and undignifying. Like, it is so stressful for us to go through that process again, and myself, who's been through quite a lot to be able to get the right level of support through the scheme, it's going to be quite concerning for me and my team, having everything thrown up in the air again, and then just now it's like, oh no, what's going to happen going forward? Are we going to lose? Most likely we're going to lose support, because Mark Butler having stated as well that they're going to bring community access down to 2023 levels and cut, I think it's about $5,000 from people's plans for community access. Community access is a vital part of disabled people's lives. Myself, as someone who is a power chair user and needs assistance with transferring and all of my cares, without the NDIS and support to do those things, I can't leave the house. I can't even toilet. I can't even have a shower. And then, as well as an autistic person, I need support workers to be able to regulate. So having that, like, support, you're going to see many people in the same position where we're going to lose and have to ration our supports. And it's already really hard to do that with the DSP being such a low number. But with the NDIS and having to, I see a lot of people and friends of mine having to already ration supports. I'm based in McGandagin and it's a public holiday today, and a lot of people may not have support today because they have to ration their supports. And we're going to see more of that. We're going to see a lot more of that because of these budget cuts, because of cuts to community access. And the other biggest thing as well is we're going to see such an impact on actual workers and support workers in this sector and allied health professionals in the NDIS and disability sector.
So they won't have the work that they expected
exactly,
to have.
Exactly. Yeah. Without these funding cuts and participants being removed from the scheme, like, workers are going to lose so many hours in work, but we're also probably then going to lose skilled workers, trained workers, and allied health professionals that are a core part to disabled people's lives, to providing dignifying levels of care, to providing, like, us and our day-to-day living, and, like, supports in our day-to-day living, so we can just exist and have ordinary lives just as much as anyone else.
Yeah, which is your right.
It is, absolutely.
And so how's the campaign building? Because certainly you've pulled together three rallies on Saturday, so you've been doing something. You've been very fast off the mark there.
Well, yeah, absolutely. The campaign is building so well. Like, we currently have four at the moment. So we've got the one on Gadigal Country, Sydney. We've got the one in Nam that is happening as well. We've got the one in Brisbane, McGandagin, and we've got the one happening in Boorloo, Perth. And then we have talks of other places as well, doing different actions. That's currently in the works as well. So we have been working really hard collectively as a national team. I'm based in Magandajan, and our team's been working on the Magandajan rally and the Brisbane rally there. So we've been doing a lot with that. And I've been in communication with the team in NAM, and they are working so hard to pull everything together. And it's been really amazing for us to be in meetings collectively and just be like, disabled rage is a tool. We're utilising that.
I was reminded of some of the actions that happened here to do with trying to make the trams accessible.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some great actions there with blocking the trams and so on. Well, that's way back. That's the 90s, I reckon. But yeah.
There was another one that happened. I can't remember when, but there was another one that happened in recent years, and an incredible disability advocate, I know Aki Nyo, was involved in that. And it's been incredible to see, you know, the hands-on actions that have happened in NAM. And the team in NAM is working so hard, and it's really incredible to see everyone just in meetings together, and we're all like, what can we do to pull this together? And we're just using such different skill sets and resources from each state across the country to really, you know, get this action off the ground and going. We've seen such a good response to this as well, and the disability community is really from these cuts.
Right.
We are better together. We are so much stronger together.
That's great. Yeah, I should just remind listeners that you're listening to Breadline, the show of the Australian Unemployed Workers Union. And I'm Jessica, and I'm speaking to Auriella about the new campaign, Protect Our NDIS, which, again, it's unfortunate you have to do it, really.
Absolutely, yeah. Unfortunately, we have to justify the right to have care as disabled people.
And so what are your sort of core demands?
Absolutely. So stop the cuts, and we don't put a price on our rights. We deserve safe, dignifying, familiar supports. Many disabled people don't have informal supports to fall back onto. Myself, not having family to be able to be caregivers or be there in that role, and there is also almost like a governmental expectation for that to be the case. Many disabled people don't have that. We deserve to choose and have the right of who we want as our supports, who we want touching our body, who we want showering us, who we want getting us dressed, who we want to be there in some of the hardest times, regulating us and supporting us. Don't kick people off the NDIS. Expand safeguards. Like, NDIS participants deserve security in our access to the scheme. We deserve to remain on the scheme if we've met access, as there is no adequate state or foundational support alternative set up currently. We have nothing running or set up with a scheme such as like Thriving Kids. Like, there's so much talk around that at the moment, and so many autistic kids and their families and people with psychosocial disabilities are really concerned about what's going to happen to their access to the scheme. But they have nowhere to go with this 160,000 participant number of people being kicked off the scheme. Really want to see as well expanding trainings to support workers and supervision for support workers in the sector. Registering providers will not fix this issue, will not provide a better safeguarding alone by just registering providers, because it is not an accessible process to do that, because it is so financially difficult for providers to do that. It's so expensive. We want to see tax the gas corporations and billionaires. Why are we as disabled people being punished when we didn't choose to be disabled? Why are we as disabled people being targeted when there is a gas industry and billionaires sitting out there with hoarding wealth, and we are just rationing things on the DSP to get by? We are, you know, needing this level of support to live normal, ordinary, and dignifying lives.
Yeah.
And we want to see an expansion to disability services, and human rights belong to all, because we deserve to access dignifying care, dignifying support. We deserve to access familiar, safe, and regular supports.
Ooh.
We deserve to not have to ration those things out.
That's really strong, and I think they might have stirred up a hornet's nest, really, with
this.
They
absolutely have. They've tapped the glass.
And so the important thing, as you said, the contacts that people are making through campaigning are really important. How can people contact you then if they want to get involved, apart from going to the rally on this coming Saturday, which will also, in the case of 3CR, will be being broadcast live this Saturday, what are the main takeaways for contact details there?
Yeah, so head to protect@protectourndis on Instagram and Facebook. And we are happy to get in. If you want to organise, you want to get involved, reach out to us. If you have a cool skill set, you want to utilise that, jump on board. We're happy to get you involved there.
Wow. Great.
If you're based in the Gadigal at all, Gadigal has their own page. You can reach out to them, which is Protect Our NDIS Gadigal. The Magandajin page is protectourndis.magandajin. And you can check out the details on our Instagram page, Protect Our NDIS, with details of the rallies, accessibility info, what our demands are, and then really any other further upcoming info is all on there.
Wow.
Really important link is our link tree that's in the bio of the Protect Our NDIS page. That one is awesome because it's filled with not only just the actions that are coming up on this Saturday across the country, it's a National Day of Action, but it also has other ways you could support the campaign.
We're running out of time, but thanks so much for coming on, Auriella, and thanks to Danielle for lining that up getting on to you. And best of luck with the rallies. I think they're going to be amazing. And, we'd like to have you on again to keep in touch with what's happening.
Amazing. Reach out, no problem at all. Lovely to be on here tonight. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, bye. Well, bye from Breadline. I want to drop food, not bombs. Hot trains, bottles, giving every info shop. I want to give free therapy out in the park. Go to free school, just to have practice. When I was new to Melbourne, I found a Food Not Bombs flyer on the road, and I had like this fist with a carrot, and carrots are my favourite vegetable. Yeah, I think they were asking for help doing stuff, and I got in touch.
We, I guess, rescue food
that would otherwise go to waste.
I like the aspect of sharing food and not making anyone feel obligated to pay anything for it.
We make a real point at Food Not Bombs of involving everyone who...
Okay, so we're going to have to leave it because that was a very powerful interview there, but we've run out of time. And so listen next Monday at 6 o'clock, where you'll be hearing from Jay about The Prophet from Punishment, film that's coming up next week. And it's bye from Jessica. And you'll hear us next week. Bye.
Came back from the city, says, cuz where you been? Brother, I've been living on the wire. Live down in that gutter where the fittest survive. Plow through them fields of fire. Had a needle in a vein that profited the same. Had a friend with no name, was a liar. Saw the white walls of freedom, never found the black door. Saw the devil sing with angels in a choir, sister.
We'll take you home to the land we know. Give you that peace of evening. Give you that moon. With the wind on your face, the rains and the change of each season.
I saw people who were trapped under the whip of fat cats. Saw people lay devoid of their dreaming. Deep down inside there, so much to hide, brother. You could see in their eyes there's no meaning. Take me, my sisters, welcome me home, so I never again walk alone. Our spirit demands that we die in this land. No, now my spirit's come home, sister.
We'll take you home to the land we know. Give you that peace of the evening. Give you that moon with the wind on your face. The rains and the change of each season.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.